Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, eHills. You've really made our family feel so welcome here, so loved, so seen. People keep asking me, like, how is the transition going? And I'm like, it's amazing, so thank you. And hi, Mom and Dad, and everybody else who's watching online too. We love that this family is really big now, guys. You have a lot of family in South Africa cheering you on here at eHills. Now, I have actually missed being around here a little bit. Last Sunday, I wasn't here because I was up in Longmont for our son Will's track meet. And it started out kind of cold and gloomy, and it was wet and rainy, and I was like, these poor kids have to run in the rain. And then the sun came out, and it was beautiful because Colorado. And I was watching these little kids from this big to like really incredible athletes just giving it their all. And next to the track was a trail. There were people running with their dogs, trail runners. And you know, at first I was like, this is so awesome. And then as I looked around, to be honest with you, I started to feel really, really sad. Because I love the Bible and I love people. And Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, only the wicked run when no one is chasing them. And there were people running everywhere. No chasing, so much wickedness. So, you know, obviously I start praying for them. And now, if you're a runner, hi, welcome to church. You're literally in the right place. Jesus loves you. And I'm not a runner, it's not my jam. Tom runs, he's very proud of himself because this morning he ran a 5K race and he beat our 12-year-old. Good job, Thomas. So proud of you both, I think. Now, you may not be a runner. I know that I'm not. But whether we are aware of it or whether we are not, we are all running. Some of us are running after something. We're running after accomplishments or security. We are kind of chasing the perfect life. Maybe it's the perfect grades or the perfect home. Maybe you're running after that perfect body. I mean, I know the only reason I have bangs is because it's cheaper than Botox. You know? Like we want to look good. We want to live good. I wonder what you're running after. Maybe you're not someone who runs after things, but maybe you're running from something. You're not running after perfect. You're just trying to outrun your imperfections. Just trying to stay one step ahead of the mistakes or the failures or the things that happened to you in your past. Maybe you work as hard as you do to stay ahead because of how life has been, of the expectations that have been placed on you and demands that have been placed on you. Maybe your whole life you've been told God helps those who help themselves and you're just trying to do your best. But you're running. And now, this life of running after something, of pursuing something, it's the opposite of it. It's not laziness. I'm not talking about slacking off, checking out. In fact, one of the things that I admire so much about Americans is their work ethic. It's tangible when you come here from another country. I have so much respect for how hard Americans work, how much determination and productivity there is. What I'm talking about is what's driving you? What's chasing you? What are you running after? Because no matter what our why is, the consequences of running too hard and too fast for too long is injury. Whether it's spiritual or physical, if we run too hard, too fast, for too long, we will get injured. So I hear from actual runners. If we don't slow down, if we don't give ourselves recovery space, it has an impact on our lives. Now, I'd like you to turn to someone next to you and look them in the eye and say, no, don't. You know what? I'm not Tom. I'm not gonna make you do that. You don't have to. Yes, some of you are clapping because you hate it, like I do. Whenever Tom's like, hey, turn to someone and say, believe, you're like, ugh, not again, okay? That's like a Tom thing. Some of you love it, some of you hate it, and we're not gonna do that today. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you're so lucky you came here today. If you're new to eHills, so am I. If you walked in that room, or you hopped onto YouTube today and you weren't really sure what was going to happen, me too. I'm new here as well. But today, I wanted to get to know you, and I would love you to get to know me a little bit better. And I want to share with you what happened to me, how I got injured trying to run after perfection. I want to tell you a story of how my life turned out when I was chasing accomplishment and performance. This is what the pursuit of those things did to me. Now, if there are any soccer fans in the house, you might remember that in 2010, South Africa hosted the Soccer World Cup. Do you remember that? Do you remember, Tamina, waka waka, That Shakira, that was our World Cup song. She did that for us, that was ours. If you don't remember that, you might remember the Vuvuzelas. I apologize, that was, if you watch soccer and there was that horrible buzzing noise in the background of all the matches played in South Africa, that was Tom. I'm holding the Vuvuzela. They're like these plastic trumpets, they're very annoying, so we're sorry. We got to see Australia play Germany, and it was a great time for South Africa. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and at the time, I was the youth pastor at our church, and I got together with a number of other youth pastors in our city, and we had put together like a soccer World Cup holiday club for kids in an under-resourced inner city area. A holiday club is like, I don't know what you call it here, like a vacation camp, like a day camp. It was like a day camp, okay? Thank you, Sonia, for translating for me today. And it was a lot of work. It was a huge project. And the day that we started this camp, I woke up with no voice. I didn't have flu. I wasn't sick. I couldn't speak. I had no voice. And to take away my voice, it is to make me feel absolutely useless. And I didn't know it at the time, but being useless was one of my deepest fears. And I had to coordinate rides with parents and hundreds of volunteers and make sure the program ran smoothly with no voice. It's like someone took me from being in charge to being a spectator. And that is the worst punishment ever for someone like me. And I remember I was sitting on the side of this netball field, netball court. Well, netball is like basketball, except you can't run with the ball. So when you catch it, you have to stop. So I just imagine how boring it actually must be, right? Just think about it. But I was sitting on the side of this netball court and I was watching my volunteers give the instructions. They were doing it wrong and I couldn't fix it. I'm like, And that's when I realized that I had been chasing after accomplishments and productivity and impact and success. And I'd been running after making a difference so hard and so long. And it was like on that day, God grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and he said, whoa, girl, you are gonna go off a cliff if you keep this up. You need to slow down. You need to figure out who are you if you're not useful. And that was terrifying. And so after this disastrous holiday club day camp experience and losing my voice, my spiritual mentor, Skip Collins, he took one look at me and he was like, Jess, I think God might want you to be quiet. Just taking a wild guess here. And he sent me on a 24-hour silent retreat. I'd never done anything like this before. And so off I went down the coast to this center run by these Catholic nuns. And I remember I walked in there and I was greeted by this warm, kind nun. And she looked at me and she went, "You look tired." And I just burst into tears because I was exhausted. I was so tired of trying to meet everybody's expectations, of trying to show up with all the shoulds that they were chasing me every day when I woke up. And I put my stuff down in this little dormitory room, it was very simple, went down to the kitchen and I made myself a cup of tea and I walked out into the garden. I was fragile, I was messed up, I was so finished with everything. And as I looked around me, I saw in a flower bed a little wooden sign. And the words on the sign I'd heard many times before, but it was like I saw them for the first time that day. And on that little wooden sign were these words, "Be still and know that I am God." And something in that moment happened for me that was so profound. It was like God himself had whispered into my ear, "Jess, stop running. Just be quiet. Just be still. Stop pushing so hard. Just slow down and remember who I am. Remember that I'm God, not you. That I'm in control, not you." And for me, that day became a moment. I'll never forget it. 14th of June, 2010, it was like there were two paths ahead of me and I was gonna have to choose which one I was gonna pursue. Would I pursue performance, accomplishments, success, even meaningful ministry, make a difference in people's life? Would that be what I pursue? Or would I be pursuing presence? Not just God's presence, but being present to my life while it was happening, being present to the people around me. I had to decide, would I pursue performance or presence? Now, I don't know your story like I've just shared mine with you, but I wonder today what tension you're wrestling with. We long for our lives to be lives that we can be proud of, lives we can enjoy, lives we can share with those that we love, but so often we're striving so hard to have those lives, we don't live those lives and show up to them. I wonder if you would take a moment to think about the next couple of months. What's coming up for you? What are you working on? What are you planning for? What are you hoping for? What are you worried about? And what might happen? What might happen if in that area of your life, you decided today, I'm going to pursue presence, not perfection? Maybe you have a graduation to celebrate. What would happen if you showed up on that day just fully present and in awe of the amazing journey your child has been on? And you stood around at that graduation party and you just soaked it in. What would happen to the memories of that day for you? Or maybe you can't wait for summer. I know I can't wait for summer. I don't know what you guys are doing with your spring. Yeah. I don't know what, look up spring. It's not this thing that's happening out there. But I'm excited for summer. I'm like, this is our first summer in Colorado and we are gonna hike every trail and we're gonna go to every national park and we're gonna go to the zoo and we're gonna go to the botanical gardens and we are gonna, and even me, I'm so challenged. I'm like, what would happen if I just became present to just the beauty of this place at this time of year or the pace? Or the warmth, if it ever comes to the place. But what might happen if we just are aware of that? Or maybe you want to get in shape for summer. You've seen that cute bathing suit at Walmart, and you're like, that's the one I'm going to fit into. And you're going to get fit, and you're going to... But what would happen if you were just fully present to your body as it is right now? Like, what it's got you through, what it's been through, how it's kept you alive, where it's taken you. What would happen to your self-esteem if you were present? I think you'd rock that bathing suit. You would. The invitation is, be still and know that I'm God. That little wooden sign changed my life. And it became like a compass, like a true north for me. And that's why I have it tattooed. Who's got the fancy camera here? Zoom in. That's why I have it tattooed on my arms. And today I want to take you to these words, to Psalm 46, verse 10. And we're going to explore what this verse actually says to us, how we can actually be present over perfect. We're going to look at what it means. What are the words be still and know actually mean? Why do we even need them? And then finally, how do we find it? How do we actually go and live in a way that is present over perfect? Now, these words on my arms are the Hebrew words from be still and know that I am God. I was like, I'm going to take a deep dive into scripture. I want to understand every nuance of this verse that God has so clearly put in my path and said, you better pay attention to this. And the first one is rapha. Be still, the word is rapha in Hebrew. And we think of it as just be still or be quiet, but what it means is to stop. The NIV translates it as be still. The New American Standard Bible says cease striving. It's like just stop it right now. The Amplified Version says let be and be still. Rapha, actually, if you read like the different contexts in which the word is used, it can mean to cast down, to slacken your wrists, almost to be feeble, to be weak. It kind of implies like stop exerting yourself, just let it go. Like just when I look down at my arms and I see Rapha, it's like God is telling me, Jess, stop going through life so white knuckled with such a tight grip on everything. That day in the garden, God whispered, he was like, just Jess, maybe loosen your grip a little. Just let go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Sorry, I can't help it. I would make you sing, but that's the kind of thing Tom would do, so I won't. God's voice to me was, hey, just stop. You can do that because I'm in control. Know that I am God. Very humbling, it's very liberating. And then we have yada, to know that I am God. Now, the Hebrew word yada doesn't have a great English equivalent. Maybe you've heard Jewish people say yada, yada, yada. It's like, I know about this. And it's not factual knowledge, it's experiential knowledge. Yada is not to know God, but to have known God. It's like, the difference is, like, I know I'll get pulled over for speeding by a policeman, but now, as of last weekend, I know you'll get pulled over for speeding by a policeman. I have experienced it, I am familiar with it. I have an intimate knowledge of how that might go. But you see, yada speaks of familiarity. It's of discerning something, of actually becoming like fully known and fully knowing. It's the knowledge of relationship, not facts. See, so many of us know about God. We know God, we know of God, but be still and know God is to have a relational connection, a knowing with God. This is what it means to be still and know that I'm God. And I really hope, I know I'm convinced, and I hope you're convinced, that to pursue presence over perfection, as scary as it might be to let go, it really does make our lives better. We talk about that here all the time. Jesus makes life better. That's why we want people to pursue Jesus. And when we pursue the presence of God, it makes life better. But I hope right now you're sitting there going, okay, Jess, but how? How? Like, what must I do? What do I act? How do I rafa? How do I yada? And I have the answer for you. I'm gonna tell you right now what that answer is. This is how you rafa. This is how you yada. You can't. Sorry, you can't. I thought maybe you didn't understand me there because you went very quiet. You can't. We can't be fully present to our lives. We can't slow down and let go until we are connected to the presence of God. We can be present because God is present. We can let go of control because God is in control. We can surrender because God surrendered. The only way to really live a life where we are showing up fully and alive is to be deeply connected to the presence of God. That's the how. Now, for the logical, like practical people in the room right now, you're probably wondering, that sounds so sweet, Jess. I still don't know what to do. Because I've never had that moment with a flower bed. Maybe you're somebody who's going, you know what, that's good for you. I'm glad you know you heard God's voice. I just hear voices in my head that are freaking me out and telling me to run harder and run faster and do more and do better. Maybe you have not had that experience with Jesus. I get that. I understand that because I've been in that place. But here's the reality. Whether you are Christian, follower of Jesus, whether you are a Muslim or a Hindu, whether you have all the questions or all the answers, it doesn't change the reality that God is present. God is present. It's mysterious. It's amazing. It's true. Let me explain it like this. So, understanding that God is present, like here and here and everywhere, it can feel a little abstract and confusing, but this is how I think of it. When we live in Beacon Point now, right? And when we moved here, we realized we lived right next to the golf ball. You know the golf ball? I don't know, what do you guys call it? The golf ball, I don't know, what do the boys call it? Cerebro, I think that's a superhero thing. It's right by our house. No matter where I drive in Aurora, I can see it and I know we live there. And at first I thought, well, the reason it's here is for, obviously, it's for the aliens. Like, because if you've ever watched TV or a movie and you're not from America, you know the aliens always come here first. Like, this is where they come. So I was like, oh, well, the Americans have to have stuff for that, you know? So you gotta be prepared. But then I found out what they actually are, and you guys probably all know this, but for those of you at home, mom and dad, this is what the things are for. They're weather shields. They're there to protect like the satellites and the radars that are inside from the Colorado weather. And then I found out that when this church building was first here, when E Hills has been around for ages, but the building, when it first got here, those radars and signals from those beacons and things were messing with the electrical system in the room. Like they would glitch and the lights and the screens and it would like pulse through here, right? That's kind of freaky, but anyway. It was a whole thing. It's very scientific. If you don't understand, just come and I'll explain it to you after the service, okay? It's very complicated. But God's presence is a little bit like that. It is here, whether we see it or not. God's presence is moving and at work, and sometimes we might catch a glimpse of it, but often we're just mostly oblivious. It doesn't mean it's not there. And with God's presence, because this isn't Space Force, you don't need security clearance or a PhD in space engineering. Do you know how you tune into God's presence? You just come as you are. Just come as you are. And then you do that again and again and again. And you start to become aware that you can be present and you can let go and you can surrender and you can trust because God is present. Now, as we kind of come to a close, you're probably still wondering, Jess, what must I do? Maybe you're convinced that God is present. Maybe you can remember a time in your life where it felt that tangible, but it's been a while. But here are three practical, physical things we can do, three practices that if we do them, if we repeat them and we do them over and over again, it makes us more and more physically aware of God's voice and God's presence. These three things have helped me personally so many times to be still, to be aware of God. And when we repeatedly engage with these spiritual practices in a physical way, it's like we build up our sensitivity, our awareness. These are not one and done activities. Like, you can't go to the gym and do a sit-up and be like, six pack, done, check that box. It doesn't work like that. Well, spiritual practices don't work like that either. You can't be like, well, I tried it. It didn't work, I'm out. It kind of accumulates into a habit that makes you healthier. And so here are those three practices that I want to share with you. If I did one sit-up right now, Tom, would it help? No. Okay, so whatever. I yada Jesus, guys. I don't yada sportsing and like exercise. Okay, but here are the three things we can do. Silence, scripture, and song. And maybe you're a little bit like, what? Really? It's not new. It's ancient, ancient wisdom. Practices that are tried and tested. Silence, scripture, and song. That first one, silence. That little sign was in the flower bed long before I arrived at the retreat. And I'd like to think it's still there. But silence led me to an awareness of it. And not just literally like a silent retreat, but I don't think I would have noticed it. I don't think I would have been aware of God's voice if I'd had my phone or I'd been reading a book or maybe even if I'd had someone there with me talking about how I'm feeling and what's going on and why I can't talk. And well, I wouldn't be able to talk about that, but we would be gesticulating about it. Someone, Tom, once told me that silence is God's first language. And we don't need to go away on a retreat. Here's a wild thing that maybe you'd like to try. Do nothing. Just sit in silence. I wonder what you'd notice. I wonder what you'd become aware of. When we pay attention and we have a curiosity about what we see, for me, silence and nature go together. I like to sit on my porch and just look and do nothing. It feels weird. It's very unproductive, but I'm trying to get used to not being useful. Imagine what you might become aware of. Instead of going for a run, Tom, you went for a walk. Instead of listening to another leadership podcast, you just listened to the sounds around you. Like, what would happen if you actually slowed down and were quiet? Jesus modeled this for us over and over again. This is such a Jesus-y thing to do. You know, Jesus would exert himself like put his whole self out there. He would work so hard. He modeled this for us that he would show up and he would fulfill his purpose. He would give it his all, and then he would retreat into silence and solitude. And all the demands, they were still there when he stepped back out into the noise. But he was aware of his Father's voice because he'd been in the silence. That's the first one, silence. Even the Apostle Paul, you know, we think of the Apostle Paul as someone who traveled the world and he was shipwrecked and he wrote all these letters and, you know, he had the most incredible grit and determination to spread the gospel, to see the early church flourishing. He gave it his all. But where did he write his letters? In prison. I don't think that was like a cool vibe. I think maybe it was quite lonely and quiet there where he processed his relationship with God and shared his wisdom with those around him. As a result, maybe try some silence. The second physical, real, practical thing we can do to tune in, to connect to be aware of God's presence so that we can just show up and be fully present in our lives, that second thing is scripture. And I love the Bible. I love studying the Bible. I love understanding more intellectually about the Bible, but it's not the same as just sitting with the Bible. The Bible can sometimes feel very overwhelming and intimidating if you're new. If you're new to the Christian faith and you open a Bible, you might find it's really weird and confusing. If that is you, please come do the Alpha course in the fall. Or the autumn, as it is correctly known as. But come and do the Alpha course. It answers those questions of like, why is the Bible like this? And what is that? And it's brilliant. But maybe you're not new to the Bible. Maybe you've seen the Bible weaponized and seen how it's been used to oppress people and abuse people. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of how someone uses scripture. Or maybe you love the Bible. You love it. You enjoy spending time. Here's the thing. Turning to scripture to be aware of God's presence is a different spiritual practice to studying the Bible. They are both good, but they're not the same. And we often err on the side of understanding and studying and all that head knowledge. And this is an invitation to yada the Bible. There are ways of reading the Bible that wake us up to the presence of God in a slow and a gentle way that is helping us to be still. To get real practical, I use this app. It's called Pray As You Go. I've shared it with some of you already. But, you know, so often we read the Bible. This app helps almost like the Bible read you. Like God, it's a listening practice where God speaks to us through scripture. And it starts off with a song. The music comes from all over the world. Sometimes I open it up and it's the University of Johannesburg choir. Or, you know, a worship song we sing here in church. It's just, there's song, there's scripture. And I allow it to just wash over me. No notes or journaling or word studies. Just listen to the word of God. If you feel like you can't hear God's voice, like, Jess, I don't know how to tune in to the signal, I want to encourage you, download this app. Try it out. It's free. It's easy to use. But it helps us to learn how to be present with God, to yada. And then finally, lastly, it's song. Song is one of the ways that we tune into God's presence. And worship is ultimately about our attention. It's about what's absorbing us. And I know some of you don't like the singing parts. You are watching the band come up on stage right now, and you're like, are we gonna sing again? We already did three in the beginning. Like, that's why we are come late. So we don't have to sing all the songs. I get it, I know. But when we physically engage, it helps us to spiritually engage. And you don't have to get carried away emotionally like I do and jump up and down and stuff. But this might be a new or a stretching spiritual practice, a discipline where you become more aware of God. And again, these are ways of tuning in to God's presence. Now, I know, who of you, raise your hand if you hate raising your hands in church. See what I did there? I know, you did it though, so you've grown already, like in the last 10 seconds, you know? That was a funny joke about raising your hands. But, you know, if you can, I watched the tutorial. I'm gonna help you now, okay? This is for you guys. This is how you worship. If you wanna be really subtle, you don't wanna make a big deal, it's called carry the TV, okay? Just carry the TV. It's very nuanced, very chilled. And then as you grow, first thing maybe you want to do, there's this information out there. It's called My Fish Is This Big. Fish Is This Big. I know some of you say it's this big, but we all know it's actually that big. It's Fish Is This Big. You know, you might want to really stretch yourself a little bit and be like, here's my baby, holding a baby. How cute is my baby? It's like a worship move. You just, and then you build up. You build up to goalposts. You throw in a little heartburn, little double heartburn back to goalposts. People are gonna think that you are Jesus when you do that. And you see, being from South Africa, my personal favorite is the Mufasa. That's, and there you've got it. It's not hard, guys. You can engage in worship more physically. You can do it. It's not that difficult. But seriously, I know I'm being silly because for some of us, this is our comfort zone. And maybe you need to not sing, be quiet. And for some of you, God's going, come on, trust me, let go, Rafa. Worship is one of the ways we wake up our senses. And so many of us are so fast asleep, so dead inside. We need to wake up ourselves to the Spirit of God. I can only imagine if you are thinking about what's coming up for you, what the next couple months maybe hold, what you're excited about, what you're longing for, what you're working towards, what's worrying you about this. And if I can just imagine that when you look at that and you think, let go, surrender, trust God with all that, that must be scary. It's scary for me, I know that. Because what if I don't meet the expectations? Never mind other people, just the ones I have of me. Like if I really rafa and be present and slow down, like what if they don't know that I've got what it takes? If I step back and I let God, you know, be in control, what? That's scary. But God, who's inviting you to be fully present with a Rafa and a Yada. God, he's not scary. He's good. He's so good. And he loves you right now as you are, with all of your quirks and your questions and your frustrations and your ambitions. He loves you like that right now. And that's the person, you're the person, and he's saying, will you accept the invitation to just be present with me? Just be with me. Will you accept the invitation that God is giving you right now to just, you know, stop pretending and performing, trying to keep it all together? Right at the beginning of our time together, I wondered what's chasing you. What's running after you? What's putting pressure on you? What's nipping at your heels when you wake up? Say, you better get going. You better keep it up. You better not stop for 1 minute. Because here's the truth. When we turn around and we look behind us at what's driving us, what's making us strive, do you know what? We will see the goodness of God. Psalm 23 says, surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So in this next moment, we're gonna listen to a song. a worship song that has been written about the promises of God, about the kind of God who's saying, Rapha, come in, Yada. The goodness of a God who is inviting you to be fully present to Him and to your life, and then to feel what that does to your soul. So listen to these words as they wash over.